St. Paul said, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Paul is speaking, of course, about the freedom of where we as Christians are. It's a place, a physical locale, a place just like heaven, a place like this church, like your home, and this wonderful country in which we live. By Christ, we have been delivered from slavery to sin. Our Savior's atonement for our sins is everlasting and eternal, which means He remembers not our sins as He forgives even the most grievous transgressions among us. God sent His Son just so that this disobedience of ours will be caged and set, releasing you and I from slavery to such sin. And rising from the pit of being bound to a grave in the ground, we are now living in His mighty grace, mercy, and peace. It's here, right now, and it's a delightful place for us to dwell eternally. On this, the cusp of our celebration once again of the birthday of these United States, living in this freedom Paul speaks of has never sounded so good. Because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, we ourselves, you and I, we've witnessed in this generation a rising and falling of many persons bound, gagged, and wrought in pain by the sinful men stimulated by Satan and all of his minions. It's important to point out here that we're not sitting on the outside looking in. We're not sitting here looking at atrocity after atrocity. Why? We're accomplices. By our silence, we did not help and support our neighbor in every physical need. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. So it's only fair then when we cry and we moan and we say it's foul that our hands get slapped because we're trying to do something that feels pretty good to us. In our epistle tonight, we've been again reminded of the power of the gospel. It says we're to stand firm, therefore, and do not again submit to a yoke of slavery. The original 12 disciples went through villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere, Scripture says. Now, the word gospel appears something like 93 times in the New Testament, and only the New Testament, figure. And it always appears, the word gospel always appears with either preaching or proclaiming attached to it. Over 93 times. As you have heard the sweet gospel of Christ Jesus, you too are to proclaim to others the same sweet joy that has set you free. Do you find comfort in Jesus Christ? Tell others about it. That's what we're to do. And you can't do that under the immense weight of the yoke of slavery, as this is what Christ has lifted from your shoulders, a burden too cumbersome for you to move about and tell others. You can get quite bogged down with the fret, worry, and doubt in your faith of the freedom Christ has won for you. And we do that often when we try to carry something heavier than these mere wrinkled and worthless bones of earthly flesh you do. Ah, but we keep sticking our arms out and grasping the ring of wickedness each and every time we poke our heads out from under the covers. And why on earth do we do that? It's ridiculous. Why would you want to covet some filthy, disgusting, maybe even perverted sin and cherish it just like you would a favorite cookie or maybe your beloved grandchild? Yet we do, time and time again. Why do you suppose St. Paul brings it up in the first place? Because it's true. And I know it's true because I'm no different than you are. Returning to the small catechism, whereas we pleasure ourselves with the law, we do. Now, absolutely, God's law is good. Absolutely. We're to obey the law written down by Moses and passed on through generation and generation. But when we go to thinking that our salvation is dependent upon our fulfilling of the law, which is exactly what so many of us think and do even today, we're surely to be sadly disappointed that by trying to follow the law, it isn't going to get you into heaven. We are just simply adding to the weight of that yoke of slavery upon our souls. St. Paul is actually surprising us by his undertaking this explanation to what has plagued many a believer, that following this illusion that the law will save you is so wrong. And Paul writes not just to the Galatians, but to you and I, that we are living now under a new covenant, a new and special promise from God. It's ours. No longer is circumcision a sign of obeying God. It is the gospel which defines and liberates us. It's for Jesus' sake that God forgives us all of our sins. Now consider for a moment the lives of two people from the Bible from long, long, long ago. Ishmael and Isaac. You remember them? Ishmael was born of a slave girl, Hagar, an illicit son, not a true descendant of Abraham. While Isaac was born of Sarah, Abraham's wife, and he is now a true son of Abraham. The first was uncircumcised and a stranger to the covenant of God anyways with his people, and therefore he was subject to the ills and disgrace of the flesh. All while the second, Isaac was a true observant of the covenant and set free from the impulsiveness towards sin of the flesh. Now remember as well, if you will, the keen differences noted in Holy Scripture between Gentiles and Jews. There was a great difference between those two. Divorced from the Church of Jerusalem, Gentiles suffered miserably under collaboration with those lawbreakers from, say, Rome and other heathen nations. The Jews had rightly touted being chosen by God as his people, living abundantly and precisely as they should in the land of milk and honey, which was given to them by the Lord himself. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And so here we are today. God's people gathered in His church, worshiping and praising Him as we should. You and I, forgiven and redeemed children of God, baptized into Christ to share this inheritance of freedom from the law, to be recipients of God's covenant in and through Jesus Christ. His promises are true, my friends. His promises are true. Set free from the yoke of slavery to sin, we do stand firmly, basking in the glory of God, both in this life and the next. On this night, the night before our celebrations of our nation's heritage of being free, free from tyranny and oppression, free from slavery and bondage as a people, given a land of the free, a land of the brave sacrificing themselves for all that we stand for. And we celebrate tonight in the forgiveness of our sins, granted us by God, our Heavenly Father, for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.